He has no patience with people of liberal politics and wastes no time making mincemeat of them and their illogical arguments. One man recently said, "Talking with Roy Masters is like getting into a pissing contest with a skunk." Whatever. We will do something very different with Roy this time. Instead of politics, we will talk health. Mind health and body health. A pilot for what may become a regular program co-hosted by Roy and me, MZ. Face it, our world is a sick, 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 sick place, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and it's high time something was done about it. We will scratch the surface on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Like It or Not. We know the problem, and we have the solution. Radio, AM 1080, KSCO. Okay, we are doing things a little differently here electronically with the radio station, but I think everybody can hear everybody else. Roy, are you there?
I'm here, old bean.
How you doing?
I'm glad to be on your show.
Good. Yeah, we always have fun. We always have fun when you're on.
Please don't let me talk about politics.
Right.
Head off.
What'd you say about politics? Say that again.
Please don't let people talk about politics.
Right. If anybody tries to call in and change the subject from health to politics, then you will take their head off.
Although,
in order for
us to help a person, we are going to do a program on health today, are we not?
Yes, a program. And there's more to health than what people hear quite a bit about on this radio station, which is physical health. We have a program that we've been broadcasting on this station and many, many other stations. It actually originates from here. It's called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. It's a program all about alternative health and how important it is for people to become educated and just have a basic understanding of basic nutrition so that they needn't depend on medical doctors and toxic prescription drugs.
The only trouble with that, if I may sort of be conversational here,
sure,
is that... all the good advice Dr. Wallach gives, and I'm sure it is very good, the fact that people don't have the control over their eating habits and their emotional states makes it rather difficult to follow that advice, if you see what I mean.
Well, yes, and his advice, I don't think you've heard the program. I know you've interviewed him on your program before, but... the first thing that Doc says is get rid of all the bad stuff. I mean, do not eat stuff that's bad for you, like caffeine and sugar and carbohydrates.
Poor old Oprah couldn't stop herself. She's been for years overweight, she couldn't stop herself. I saw an article about her just recently, and I can't tell you. It was awful what she had to go through. Her whole life was eating, 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 trying to deal with anxiety and fears.
And still is, I think, right? Even though she's a very accomplished person.
I know, but she says she's compensated. And so while she was compensating, you didn't know behind the scenes, I was just reading it just a little while ago. Behind the scenes, all she could remember from her past is, how much she weighed at the time she was getting all her praise and accolades for doing great shows. She wasn't conscious of the compensation for inferiority she had because of childhood traumas, you see. So many people compensate. They got wonderful personalities, and they're very, very successful and make a lot of money, but they're tangled up inside, and you can't see it, because all you get is a show.
And of course, people who don't make a lot of money who are tangled up inside...
Well, they can become failures.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't understand why they're failures.
Yeah, so listen, Roy, you and I have been on the radio together, quite a number of times over the years. I have a great deal of respect for you. But we've never really talked about...
I love you. I don't have respect for you. I love you.
No, but no respect. Forget that.
No, I do respect you, but it's a love.
Respect if there's love. Appreciate it. Feelings,
yeah, appreciate you.
Feelings mutual. And I know I can feel... I've got a good sense of the audience, and I feel some people gagging right now out in our audience.
Well, they think of love as sex. I understand that.
Yeah, so that's probably what the problem is. But also, people have said, you didn't hear the promo. I wish I had the promo in the room so I could replay it here. Michael can replay it, but you won't hear it. I played it to you on the telephone earlier.
Yeah, I heard it. I laughed my head off.
But at the part that said, talking to Roy Masters is like getting into a pissing contest with a skunk.
Yes.
Yeah, and this.
And I would win.
But why is that? I mean, are you are you a man with a great big ego?
I don't know. I guess you. I'm not to be the judge of that.
Well, now what do you think? What do you think?
Well, I if I
have
a big
ego, it's one of my favorite subjects.
If I have a big ego, I'm in big trouble.
I don't think you do because I know you. Okay, I really don't think you have a big ego. But if I ever write a book, myself, it's going to be on the study of egos and how people who get complimented, particularly talk
shows. Egos can't be studied because they cover themselves so well. They pretend they don't have one or they're very proud of it, and they give you a wrong impression of who they are.
Maybe, but I'm still fascinated by I call it the ego. Maybe it's something else that takes somebody who is a nice, humble person at the beginning, and when people start complimenting them on the radio,
they puff up like balloons,
and they can't, and their heads get so fat they can't fit through the door. And I think, and it's happened so many times at this radio station in the 14 or so years that we've been running it. I just think it's fascinating, and there are a few people who don't have egos, who say, hey, I don't care whether I'm on the radio or not, but other people can't handle it if they're not.
Well, you don't want to.
I know how that feels because way back in the 60s, the most important thing in my life was my radio show as a high school student on this very radio station.
Wow.
And when Mr. Berlin kicked me off for making a fart noise when I was 14 years old, I hated him more than anybody in the world, you know, because he took my precious radio show away from me. And I realized that, but for several years later, we got to be very good friends. And when I bought the radio station, he actually helped me, build it back up to, prominence electronically. At least, wait a minute, that's the wrong word to say. When we've had the technical difficulties, when we pride ourselves on being the best technical difficulty station on earth, but at least we're best at something. In any case, the study of ego, what I call ego, and maybe it's not. What is it? If it's not ego.
Well, I guess it's a good place to start the subject matter because ego is really you. You have a self within a self. There's two of you. There's the you, the consciousness that knows that you see your hands and you there's an awareness inside you like a self. It's a self within a self, a person within a person.
A being.
A beingness. Uh-huh. And that's called your soul or your consciousness.
Uh-huh.
That animals and pigeons and ants and creatures like on the earth don't have, only humans have that quality, and it's God-given. Now, some people may not believe in God, but it also comes with intuition. In other words, what comes from God also comes with it a godly quality. But that godly quality can be sullied because, I've said this on the radio many times, I'll just try to make it very simple, that the only thing God can't make create is love. He is love, but he can't create people to love him. I think the devil does that. It's called compulsion, addiction and servitude. But he can't create love in a person, so you have to have a choice between loving him and playing him. And, of course, I suppose, to cut the long story short, the Darth Vader kind, the dark side, evil, those who choose evil, those who enjoy evil, who love power, that's what you're talking about a few moments.
Yeah.
They love the power.
Yeah.
They want to
yeah.
be number one instead of number two, and they make everybody else number two, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
And they're in the business knocking down and building themselves up.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to be very careful about being knocked down and giving deference to those who...
It's very, very easy.
Dangerous war going on in the country on that subject matter. So that's political. We've got to be careful we don't go there.
Yeah. Boy, how are we going to get through 2 hours?
But we'll just finish off the point, then we'll go to our medical thing if you like. But the point is, he says that it's like loving what's right, which is humility, right? You want to know, that's humility, loving what's right and giving up.
I never thought of that, but that makes sense.
Loving what's right is like being in the Marines, and I know a lot of people don't like the Army, but it's like being in the Marines and loving your country, a good country, assuming America is a good country, and it's, sir, yes, sir, I'm not going to make any decisions, whatever you say, sir, even if I have to die in the battlefield, whatever you say, I know you're not perfect. None of my generals are perfect, but I will die for my country and I'll do the best I can. Bingo. That's the way a person is when he has humility. He doesn't play God. He listens to his intuition and he trusts himself and never doubts himself. While the other person, so he doesn't want the power. But the person who wants the power is easily seduced from that noble relationship and goes to the other side and then continuously seeks approval from it, support from it. Whether he's an actor on the stage or puts a show on as being the most wonderful person in the world or beats people up and degrades them and gets power by taking other people's power away. You see? So that's what ego is. Ego is a dark side. Mm-hmm. Ego has a dark side and comes with it.
Oh,
many woes.
I think it's terrible. And conquering... Everybody's got an ego. Everybody will always
everybody
have
has
an ego.
Egos, and the struggle is to
Transcend it.
No, you can't control it.
You can't control an ego?
No, you can't control your ego. There's a dark force controlling you, and you don't see it. You only see yourself as a wonderful person, and you start to hate, just like you hated when you were 14-year-old, that owner of KSEO.
Yeah.
You hated it. I mean, just for making that inappropriate noise.
Yeah.
You hated him for that because he was unjust and he was unfair and he didn't acknowledge.
It really wasn't a fart noise. It was a Bronx cheer. And he said, you don't make a fart noise on KSEO.
Well, whatever it was.
Because he said, you're through, swirling. And I said, why? It was the best show. You don't make a fart
but
noise.
But he tempted your ego to judge him. And that hurt you.
Yeah.
And then you made up your mind. You're going to get that radio station if it's the last thing you do.
Actually, I made up the mind as soon as he kicked me out.
That's right. But then you that's what
it took 26 years.
But you became a compensator. Uh-huh. You began to compensate for what you lost. So you lost a little virtue there. Maybe you lost it before that, but it's another piece of virtue you lost. Every time something upsets you and disturbs you and makes you hate them, and every time you accept praise and glory and you puff up like a puff adder, like a cobra. You're falling for it. And you become addicted to it. You become addicted to anger, hostility, praise. The two horns on the same goat, praise and judgment. You made a judgment, and you're playing God. And when you seek praise, people to love you, then it also gives you a kingly or queenly quality. This is very dangerous stuff. Everybody seeks it, and everybody dies from it. And I think maybe we've gone too far already.
No, we haven't. I want to go farther because I'm fascinated by this whole thing. And
I don't know if our audience is fascinated because it's very threatening stuff.
Oh, to hell with them! You know.
You're
a terrible thing to say. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just. It must be the hypnotist in you that sort of hypnotizes me into saying something. What a terrible thing I just said. What did I just say?
Well,
no.
Well, that was I know what you mean.
That was a dream. Do you think the dark side got hold of me for just a split second there when I said to hell with the audience?
No, what it is that you are throwing caution to the wind because you want to speak the truth. And it was a little inappropriate to say it, but I understand the sentiment.
Well, I believe in saying what I think. I want the audience of KSCO. I want to honor the audience. In fact, people think I'm kidding around when I say we have the most intelligent audience of any radio station on earth. We do. I mean, there's some doofuses and some dopes out there that listen to us, but by and large, most of the people who listen to KSCO are exceedingly intelligent.
Well, they must be because you have me on.
Right.
That's my ego again.
Yeah. See now. So let's talk about that. That's your ego. Now,
that's ego talking.
When people say to you, people either love you or they hate you. I mean, there's nothing in between.
If I may quote a famous person, they loved Jesus or hated him and they killed him. They loved President Reagan or they hated him and thought he was the enemy of the state.
Uh-huh.
So. I don't know what to say. You know, if you're a bad person, people will love you or hate you. And if you're a good person,
I want to ask you a question, though, because very frequently, and I'm sure it'll happen on this program, I'd be very surprised if they don't. We'll get some caller who says, I really admire you, Mr. Masters, and I appreciate what you say.
Yes.
And how do you take that? I mean, isn't that praising you, and isn't that going to puff up your ego and so forth?
That's a very good question. As I said, there are two things.
Because you're human, too. But you seem to be on a level that understands a lot of this stuff that I think the world would be better off if more people understood.
The question is a good question, because remember, love and hate are two horns on the same goat. You've got to be very careful not to fall for either one of them. So if I am motivated by God or good, and I am an instrument, but not the person who cures you, but I'm an instrument because, let me put it this way, I can't turn my own eyeballs back and see God. But I can see God in other people when he's there. I can see the dark side in other people when it's there, because I have a light that shines on that and says, what's that over there? But don't judge it. It wants to intimidate you and make you mad, and that's the way it gets inside you.
Okay, now
so careful now.
Explain this to me, okay?
All right.
I think that there are people thinking the following question here. Roy says, be careful about judging people.
Yes.
It sounds very frequently like you judge people.
Yeah, I know it's true.
On your radio program, which we carry on KOMY from 10
Yeah, it
10
does,
PM
but that's in the mind of the beholder. I mean, judgment is in the mind. If I reject vehemently some of the communist or liberal points of view, like killing babies, for example, I see it a certain way. And I see it because I have intuition that I'm loyal to. I must stand up for that. And people who have bought the lie will defend the lie as if it was truth. Do you see what I'm saying? So therefore, when I say, excuse me, but this is wrong, and you've already done that, you've already killed your baby. I'm being very, very frank.
Yeah.
So there are some women who eventually wake up and realize, oh my God, what I've done. What have I done? And doctors themselves, who've done many abortions, will say, oh my God, what have I done? They wake up and realize, you know, they've been had. And they've been the agent of the dark side, so to speak. And so, but a lot of people will defend the programming to their death. So if you're born a cannibal, you may die one. You see, and no matter how much you try to convince a killing and eating people is wrong, they'll probably eat you just for saying that. See, so when people are indoctrinated, when people are corrupted, and the evil people in this country who want to rule it understand this principle that if they can corrupt the youth, if you can corrupt a young person to take the first drug, when he comes home at night and his father says, why are your eyes red? And what have you been doing? Father who loves the son, or the mother that loves the son, the first thing he does is turn against the good in his own father and say, nothing, nothing, mind your own business, because he will feel like he's being judged. Mm-hmm. He will feel that his father is looking at him and he can't stand the pain of it. Therefore, the person who gives the pain is passing judgment on him.
And is the father not judging?
Well, now the father could be angry and judge him. But I, myself as a father, I would hold my ground. I would take the wrath of my son, understanding that he's been compromised, and deal with him with love, with firmness, and I would confront him. He would be angry, and he'd think I was just the most wicked father on earth, but I would stand my ground, and because he couldn't move me from where I am, he'd get angry and angry to try to move me, but I won't get moved. He'd get so frustrated they couldn't convince me that I was wrong, he'd run out the door, slam the door after him, and then I wait a little while, and if he's a good person, I've thrown him back on himself. Because I've held my ground, I've penetrated him with the good, and you see, anger is not a defense against good. So when you get angry with Roy Masters, I get inside you, and it gives you a chance to think better of it. Where if I got angry, I would feed your problem. So angry fathers feed their children's drug problems and all their other emotional problems.
Haven't you gotten angry many times on this program? Maybe I misinterpreted
Tough.
This. Angry, it's like I said in the promo, which you heard a few days ago, but you didn't hear it today. You have no patience for liberal-minded people, and you are quite rude to them.
On
the radio. You admit to that.
Yes, I do.
And
Because people... For instance, when you have a little boy, a little child, and you try to reason with them, well, sometimes you can. But very often when they've stolen something or done something wrong, as kids are impulsively inclined to do because they haven't not developed yet, and they start to scream and yell to get their own way, their ego way, and you give into that. You get upset and give into it.
Many parents do, yeah.
So when I speak to that child, I say, I'm your father, and you will not speak to me in this fashion. And you go to your naughty chair, so to speak, you know, like the super nanny does.
Yeah.
She is very good at what she does. And I'm sure the child, when the super nanny looks at that child, comes down to their level and talks to them firmly without being moved by their anger, you can see visibly the change in the child. The ego in the child is corrected by the example of not being able to get to the super nanny the way they got to their parents. Their parents are feeding the child's problem by being angry, or being angry and then submissive and thinking, I'm not loving them enough, I feel their pain, I'm going to give in to... No, you see, both of those extremes feed the problem in the person, children, or those people you work for or marry, or either one, the love side, loving people too much, giving in to them, going along, getting along, you're just feeding the power structure in another person's ego, and it comes back to bite you. See, and also, you don't live your own life because they penetrate you, and you end up serving the evil in people rather than the good in yourself.
Okay, this is getting a little deep, I asked about your reactions to liberals, and I guess I'm starting to violate the rule already.
Then I talk to liberals as if they're naughty children, because they are naughty children, and they've never been corrected. And a lot of liberals a lot of liberals have an attitude, and they won't be permanent, because I have a lot of liberals who've become sensible, and that's why I can help him. You can't cure a liberal, because he's unreasonable. His unreasonableness makes you sick. And that goes for conservatives too. When a conservative deals with an unreasonable liberal, he also goes cuckoo. He still remains a conservative in his thinking, but he's confused and mixed up by his reaction to the unreasonable brat he's facing. You see that?
Yes.
See that? So I'm being in saying this in no uncertain terms. You cannot, on this program, you will not be able to cure a liberal, because you have to bring them back to their common sense, because it's the common sense that cures them, not me.
How did you discover all this? Were you always you, or was there a different you?
Here goes my ego. I was born smart. No, I'm just kidding. No, I was.
No, really. I mean, I've got people like Sean Hannity, think you walk on water because they grew up listening to you on the radio.
Yeah,
and John Wayne, right? I mean, people like you. You've been on the radio for 45 plus years, right?
But I also practiced the art of hypnotic therapy for 7 years, and then I was in the army when I was 18 years old. I hypnotized the whole platoon. And they did more for me than the sergeant. But that's how I discovered there was a force that could control people if they weren't aware of God, if they weren't self-aware, so to speak.
Uh-huh. Well, so agnostics
and
atheists.
No, atheists are not necessarily bad people. They just said
themselves. I didn't say that, but I'm happy to hear that you say that.
Well, I want to say why, because they look at the people who compensate for their faults and hide behind the cross. And they say they have the perception, the intuitive perception, say, that's God, I want nothing to do with it. So therefore, what the Christians have done is actually tempted a person to fall away from their God by just pretending to be what they're not.
Oh, I'll bet some Christians are going to be very upset that you said that.
To hell with them.
Was that a nice thing to say?
No, I would say that's where they're going if they're not careful.
Wait a second. I want to introduce Judy DeVilbiss. Judy is a good friend of mine and a friend of the radio stations, and she's in the studio with me. I asked her to join me today, or at least call in. And I said, hey, we're in Santa Cruz. Might as well just come by the radio station and chip into the discussion here, because we can have a very nice discussion among ourselves with or without callers.
You have no callers yet?
No, well, I haven't invited them. I haven't invited them. But
I don't think they want to, because I think the kind of conversation you and I can have is now we haven't yet got to vitamins and health and things like that yet.
Right.
But we're talking about
we have to lay the groundwork.
But that's the groundwork. Unless you get your head straight, nothing goes straight.
Right.
Okay. Am I right?
And you agree with that, Judy?
Yes,
right?
I do. Okay. I do agree with that. I believe. Can you hear me, Roy?
Oh, yes, Judy, I can
hear you. Good
morning.
Good morning, everybody. Anyway, isn't it sad, and I truly believe that if you don't have contentment within, there's no point in expecting anyone else to make you content or finding happiness. I believe, self-contentment, isn't that number one?
Well, you know what? when people ask me what happiness is,
yes,
I said happiness is not letting any make you unhappy.
Perfect.
See, because you already have it. So there's like, when you're a Las Vegas gambler or something, when the minute you lose your money to the table, then you go after it at the table but you don't realize what you've lost is more than money. And you can't get that back from the table. You just lose more of your soul to the table. It's more than money you've lost. And when you get it back, you puff up. But then it puffs up something that isn't real.
Sure. And I agree with you. If you don't have God in your life, how can you fight the dark side?
The only thing is my business is the fine print of the pathway to that state. And that's what I do on my radio program, and it's very disconcerting to a lot of people.
Well, most people who listen to your radio program are a mess. They need help.
Well, a lot of people...
And that's why you do the advice line, right?
Well, a lot of people, Americans, don't think they're a mess because they've got lots of drugs to make them think that they're okay. They've got lots of doctors and pharmaceuticals, and they've got lots of sex and lots of pornography. Just a whole list. They've got skydiving and all kinds of... They've got all kinds of money they can expend on forgetting how wrong they are and feeling good about themselves, you see, until the wake-up call comes.
It's all immediate gratification.
Immediate. In other words... There's plenty of saviors out there, earthy saviors. You know, the love of the world makes you an enemy of God, but the thing is, we don't care about our conscience. Our conscience seems
like
the
enemy. Can't you love the world and love God also?
No, you can. Of course you can.
Yeah,
God so loved the world, he gave his only son.
Sure.
So, we understand, of course you can love people in the world, because that's what the world is about, and all the beautiful creation, and all the marvels, and all the science. You know I write about science and things like that now. But... the thing is, of course you can love the world. You love your children, you love your wife, but you don't love them and you don't lust them. And you love them. Love is a very special thing that you can't get from the world. See? Ego is what gets love from the world, because it hasn't found it, it's lost it in itself. And it has a misunderstanding as to what conscience is. It seems like the punisher. It's your best friend.
Hmm.
See? And that's why people... when they listen to my conscience speaking to them and correcting them, they've never had that correction. They got away with so many things in life that when I come along and say, I'm your dad. I'm sort of like a surrogate dad to a lot of people.
Yeah.
All this is wrong. You can't keep doing this, making the same mistake over and over again, not thinking it's a mistake and expecting a different conclusion. That's what they call insanity. You make the same mistake. You keep loving, and trying to love harder and harder and harder, but you haven't got any love to give. You're giving love to get love, and all you do is get got. And then you get frustrated, and you feel guilty. And when you feel guilty, you feel like you're not loving enough. And the manipulator knows how to manipulate you to make you give everything to them. That's what dictatorships are all about in mass.
And, here we go.
Oh, I'm not going too deep here.
Here we go into politics again. I mean, everything leads... how are we going to do this?
You can't avoid it. Everything ends up... everything, even the pharmaceutical companies is politics.
Oh, my.
They're in the business of keeping you ill. In other words, once a person... you told me yourself. Once a person gets power, they have become addicted to it.
Uh-huh.
And so once you start to depend upon the government for your Social Security... once you start to depend on the pharmaceuticals and doctors to make you feel better, to cure you, then it gives you a license to live longer. And so, therefore, the longer you get, the more impoverished you become, the more dumb you are, the less you grow roots into yourself, the more you will come back to that which is corrupting you, looking like it's helping you. You made the same mistake in marriage a few times, I imagine.
Who, me?
Or anybody.
Not me.
You know, you're just...
I haven't made that. that's one problem I haven't had yet.
But it's not always a mistake.
Yeah. Not always a mistake, but nearly always is.
Fine host I've turned into. We've gone. We're like 30 plus minutes into the program, and
I didn't realize it was that far already.
And I haven't told people that you're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, MZ with Judy DeVilbiss and Roy Masters, talking about health of your mind as well as health of your body. Now,
well,
how can we?
I show you how to make the bridge.
Okay, good. Let's.
You've
do
heard
it.
Of the seven deadly sins?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say seven deadly words from that old George Carlin thing about what you're not supposed to say on the radio.
Oh, but no.
Seven
no,
deadly
no,
sins.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
No, but you've heard about them, and of course there are more than seven, but there are seven basic ones. And so one of them is pride. What do you learn at school? What
right.
do you learn? You learn to be more prideful. You're
to
dying.
To be proud is a terrible thing.
Is a terrible thing.
What I remember hearing, I heard that when I was a kid, and I said, wait a minute. You know, my parents are proud of me. That's a good thing. That's
oh,
not
I, I got to tell
thing.
You a story. I got to tell you a story. This is a great story. And then we'll come back to this argument. As you know, I'm a sailor. I used to be, anyway. I'm 77 years old, and I don't get around so much anymore, but I love to sail to the islands and go fishing and, you know, go out in hurricanes and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so one day I went to have my sails fixed at the sailmaker. I came back to pick up my sail, and we got talking the way you and I talk right now. And I can't help myself. And he showed some pictures of his two kids. And this one is a pediatrician. This one has got some degree in some famous university. He said, and he puffed up like a cobra. And he said, I'm so proud of them. I said, let me see. Did you create them? Did you make them in your image? Because that's what you're telling me. Because if you did, they're nothing. They're not their own people. He jumped over the counter, got me in the headlock.
Seriously?
His reaction to that was...
You're not exaggerating.
No, I'm not exaggerating. He jumped over the counter, got me in the headlock, and I said quietly, I know how to get out of this headlock, and I'll throw you through the window if you don't let me go. He let me go, realized he was an impulse. He couldn't handle the fact that this could have been true. That you can't, he is not God, and you can't be proud of your children. You can be happy for them. You can love them and admire the good that's in them, and you could be instrumental in leading them to the good, but you can't be proud because it means you did it. You puff up with you make some silly little invention and you puff up. You do something good and you puff up and feel very important over nothing. This is addiction.
Yeah.
This is an addiction.
It's a concept it's a very simple concept, yet it's got to be difficult for people to
grasp.
Yeah.
Because they're addicted to, it's the only self they know how. But
right.
this is the you're dealing with forces that keep you prideful. That keep you from seeing the stupidity of your pridefulness, like through a bottle, through drugs, through medicine. So you never look at your physical ailments as emanating from your own follies, but you prefer to think of them as physical and have a doctor help you so you live longer, wronger. If you live longer, wronger, you die at... Maybe you live longer. They'll always say, well, in America, you live a long time. You live at 75, 80 years old. But look at the shape of those people who are 75 years old. They're just bags of sickness and disease and full of chemicals. And they have no meaning. They have no meaning in life. It's a horrible sight. It's a horrible sight to walk down the mall.
Yeah.
It's Munchkin Land.
Bags of what? What did you call it? Bags of chemicals.
Bags of diseases soaked with chemicals.
Oh, God. Oh, how true.
And no consciousness.
How true.
The whole purpose is to defeat the consciousness of what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
So you feel good about yourself.
Okay.
I mean, this is a spiritual death. Now, the second part. Now, let me just add this now. The seven deadly sins. The first one, the granddaddy of them all, is pride. It's spiritual. The other six and 66 are like anger. See, the next one down from that is anger.
You're writing this down, Judy. I need to watch. I need to see this.
And I don't remember all. You see, anger is one of them.
Okay.
Anger puffs you up. That's why your enemy wants to make you angry, because anger or resentment is not a defense. It will separate you from the good by which you could overcome the evil in that person. So that's why you don't never be intimidated by your children, because if you do, the children will have you. And you'll spend your whole life trying to fix them and make them worse.
I think a lot of people do recognize that, but they still let their children manipulate them, even though they understand what you just said.
Exactly. They cannot. They can hear what I'm saying, or they reject what I'm saying because they want to think of the love that comes out of hate is love. Juliet in Romeo and Juliet in Act 1, Scene 5 says, out of my first hate sprung my first love. Bingo, tragedy. You can see that if you intimidate a woman enough, men know it, women know it. If you intimidate them and you can't get sex from them, and you intimidate them, they'll start to feel guilty about being angry with you. See, they know.
Is this true, Judy? You're a woman.
I don't know. I've never been intimidated.
Yeah, you can't intimidate Judy.
So when did you last walk on water?
Right after you. Right after you, Roy.
I'm not sure I know.
Well, I can't say I've never been intimidated. I have been, but it's been a long time ago.
Well, that was a specific question, about intimidation and sex.
I got it, Ken.
I didn't.
Yeah, in other words,
I'm sort of slow sometimes.
Men, when they have when charming men meet a resistance from a woman, they start to intimidate them and then make them feel guilty. Then they reject them and make a woman feel like she has done something wrong. And the only thing she can give, a woman's resentment and a man's resentment turns them into animals. It awakens the sexual impulse and the desire to please.
Yes, they haven't learned to act instead of react.
That's correct. So if you learn to not react, you will be able to act in a right way. But if you react, the bad guy gets hold of you and acts through you.
Okay.
As they themselves are acted through. It's a whole chain gang.
We haven't invited phone calls, but I really want to, even though we haven't gotten to the meat of the suggestion.
Well,
go ahead.
But the other six, which is lust, avarice. You see, after all, you burn yourselves out so much that you can't work, you can't function, you become lazy, you drink. So not the avarice, but what was the other one? Sloth.
So we become slothfulness.
Slothfulness. Yeah. You
there's a lot of that in Santa Cruz. They should rename the town Slothacruz.
Well, they have a name for it. You know, you're too pooped to pop, you haven't got energy, and they have all kinds of scientific names.
They need minerals.
Yeah.
As well as a good mind. You know, if you're dragging, and you're craving, you're short of minerals.
You see, the thing is that you eat to live instead of you live to eat instead of living, eating to live.
Yes.
You got everything reversed because you start to feel the emptiness of your being. The lack of love is represented by an abundance of food,
ooh,
and it never fills the hole.
Ooh.
And that connects all the way to mother and not having a father.
We got a couple of callers, and I recognize both of them. I recognize let's.
They're brave souls.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go to Marco, who's been waiting for a line. And then we got Serial Faxer himself, and boy, we must have really moved the Serial Faxer to call instead of fax. But Marco, you're on the air on the KSCO Saturday Special with Roy and MZ and Judy.
Hi, Michael and Roy and Judy.
Hi.
You've had very few guests on over the years that I'd much rather hear speak than myself, so I'm going to make this very quick. I take Roy into the shower with me every night. It's the best time of my day. I'm in there.
Oh, by the way, I am going to be beginning sometime next week, I think, doing a live show on your Monterey station, is it?
Which one did I say?
But I'm on your show.
1340 is what he probably means.
Yes, I'm going to change to doing a nighttime show live.
Great.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
In Los Angeles, so it'll be beeped down to you.
Well, it used to be live then, right?
It used to be live.
And then I don't know what happened that you started producing it at 9 o'clock Pacific,
The reason I did that is because 10 o'clock to 12 midnight is difficult on the East Coast, and it doesn't give people a chance to call me, so I moved it to 9 to 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it was basically a internet show because there wasn't many radio stations. It was the local feed, you know what I mean, for other stations. So uh-huh. I get plenty of calls there, but I thought I'd just move it back.
Yeah, it would be nice to be able to call you. I just want to say that I have found nothing in my life, including therapy, that can that was able to move me past a certain level of anger and resentment that
yes.
I've always had.
Yes.
And I have to say that, Roy, you have done it. I mean, I'm not enlightened yet, but I'm getting there
you
at
know,
a rapid rate.
I got to say, I don't know you real well, Marco, but I think you've been listening to the station as long as we've been running it.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, you seem to be, you've chilled out a little bit, you know, over the years. It might be because you've been listening to Roy. Huh?
That and maybe been living in Santa Cruz now for 15 years.
Oh, maybe.
But I think probably the most important thing I've ever heard Roy say, and I talk to him about, I talk to everybody about him, including my therapist, who probably resents that. So I'll have to listen to Roy to get over his resentment of me talking about Roy instead of talking to him about my problems. But
well, he should be happy because he's getting paid.
Oh, he's getting paid. Right. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna start buying Roy's books. So
okay, there you are. You see,
here.
You'll get even.
But the connection he made between, and cancer runs in my family, and it kind of runs only in the people in my family that have been resentful or have
yes.
not gotten become alcoholics to get over their problems, you know, that
yes.
tried to stay on the straight and narrow and couldn't get past it, that anger and resentment leads to cancer.
It does, because I can say to you honestly that hundreds, in the last 45 years, hundreds if not thousands of people have recovered from cancer remission permanently only because they had a wake-up call and learned to overcome their anger and learned to be more patient and forgiving. You know, forgive us as we forgive our trespass against us sort of thing.
You have some really neat books, Roy, but the title on one particular one is just really, it really hits home. How to Conquer Negative Emotions.
It's one of my better books.
Yeah, you wrote that, I don't know, what, 20, 30 years
well,
ago, something like that?
You know, all the stuff, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well was written 45 years ago, so.
Well, I'm going to be ordering How to Survive Your Parents.
Oh, that's another good one.
And have my kids read it also.
Oh, I tell you, it's but the first chapter they may not like because
yeah.
I say, you know, the most craziest people in the world are the parents. But I'm just going to abbreviate it.
Yeah.
But there's one thing they need and they've never had in their life is love, and the only person that you give that love is who can give that love, who cares enough to give parents love is their own children. So
yeah.
when you grow older, and you didn't have love when you were a child from your parents. Learn to love them, and then give them what they never had as a child. And
exactly. You get a second shot at it.
You get a second shot at it. You've got to be the father of your father.
Right.
You see.
Well, I'm honored to talk with you, Roy. And the other thing I wanted to just mention that I thought is really special about what you say, and a lot of men probably don't want to hear this, is the business about how women use sex or a man's claim to need sex from her as a weapon.
Well, it's only because of his weakness. It's only because of his weakness that it is a weapon.
Well, that's right, a weakness. And one of the, I certainly believe that one of the reasons that circumcision has always been part of the Jewish faith was, in fact, to desensitize men to the pleasure of sex so they'd be thinking of other things, you know.
Well, it didn't work for me.
Well, maybe we have to take a little more off, Roy. Anyway, I'm going to.
I've got some good jokes on that one, but I can't tell them.
You mean about women won't buy anything unless it's 20% off or something like that?
Yeah,
something from the old.
Yeah, Michael.
Jewish women won't buy anything unless it's at least 25% off.
Well, you know why they found Michael Jackson in the boys' clothing department?
Tell me.
You heard the boys' pants were 50% off. Michael, thank you so much for having Roy on the radio.
You bet. Okay, Margo, thanks for calling. Here comes the serial faxer himself.
But before you go to that, do you know why Jewish men want to die?
No.
No, die young is because they want to.
Because they were right.
I almost ruined my own joke.
Right. Hey, now listen, a little background here. We have another, one of our other brilliant listeners to the radio station is a man we affectionately call the serial faxer because he doesn't do this very much, at least hasn't lately, but he's an amazing artist and a great cartoonist and a clever person, and he sends faxes.
Watch that ego.
Yeah. Who, me?
No, watch his ego.
Okay. And
praise will get you everywhere.
Yeah, these little cartoons that come in that are delightful. So we call him Serial, and he's our next caller. Are you there, Serial?
Hey, folks.
Hey there. How come you haven't been faxing lately?
Well, I've been away from my shop, and I've kind of been taking care of some family stuff, and so I've kind of been away from my fax machine. But I'm working my way back.
Okay, good.
Roy Olbeen.
Yes, Olbeen.
I love you.
You're great. Thank you.
I've been listening to you since 1971.
Oh, my goodness.
I think you're like the objective father that none of us ever had, and I think you kind of set off little father issues with people, and it kind of tends to go politically left and right sometimes.
Yes, it does.
And it causes, you know, within people, you know, they get polarized against you.
Yes.
And it's too bad because some of my closest friends, you're like garlic to the vampire kind of a thing, you know? And I wish they could just get past that and listen. Because I'm qualifying myself. I'm not boasting here. But I do have a couple degrees in psychology, and I listened to Roy all through college, and I just – his grasp of people and the anger-resentment thing, the male-female thing, it's just so great and so fundamental, just like the vitamins kind of. I think it's a great tie-in.
Yeah, we've been wanting to do this for a long time. Our good friend Andy Anderson came up with the idea years ago that you know, a mind health and body health type program, and that's what Roy and I are hoping that this program that we're doing today on the Saturday special can sort of act as almost a pilot for something like this.
Besides, it'd be therapy for you.
Really well.
Boy, do I need it. Yeah.
And Roy, times I've talked to you on your show, you never let anybody give you any compliments, so I'm taking this opportunity to say how much I think you, and I really wish people could get off the left-right thing and listen to you, like the male-female thing. If they say you're kind of tough on women, but if you listen to it, men come out worse in your philosophy because of our weakness.
They do.
And so
I blame them. I don't blame the woman.
I agree.
Okay. I blame the men for
that. That's what you've always said, but people can't get beyond the left right thing to hear that part.
Okay. No,
but everybody enjoys the game.
If
the trouble
is, just listen and get beyond the left right. Roy's got so much to say.
Now, who can argue with that? Nobody can, unless they're not with us.
Well, I keep up. Look, listen. There are faults in men. There are faults in women, and women tend to be maternal, and they think differently from they have a soul like a man does, but they have a different form and a different purpose.
Okay.
And if they didn't have egos, they wouldn't. You see, egos always wants to control the world, even if it's only just a family structure. You see?
Right.
And so what you're looking at a family is the struggle for power. And women know how to do that by setting men up to fail by employing their weakness, by, you know, utilizing their weakness against them. So a man wakes up one morning and he suddenly the war is over and he didn't know a war was being fought.
Okay. All right, now listen, guys. We got here. There's something very important that we have to go out with this hour. Betty, stay on until next, or call back after the hour. Betty and Selena's here. Here's
the following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's
Good Lord, it's been an hour.
Last month on April 6th, I felt a sense of revulsion at the extent to which our country and Canada and now all of Europe have been poisoned by the intrusion of political correctness. That day last month, the front page headline in the Sentinel was, "Student Protest Disrupts Job Fair. 200 UCSC student protesters loudly demanded that the military recruiters lawfully participating in the job fair on campus be forced to leave. University administrators actually validated the undemocratic student protest and forced the military recruiters to leave the campus. What should have happened at the very least, the protesters should have been forced to leave, and at best, all of them should have been expelled. The loudmouth pipsqueak inmates are being encouraged to run the asylum, which we the people pay for." In Sunday's May 15th Sentinel, we learned that our own, at least twice-time Mayor Mike Rodkin, longtime UCSC instructor and much too longtime Santa Cruz political activist, publicly complimented the student protesters for evicting the military recruiters. Is it any wonder that new businesses would no longer dream of locating in Santa Cruz? And is it any wonder that we are in a constant budget deficit and our roads are full of potholes because of the Mike Rodkins and his ilk running the show for so long? This Saturday, May 21st, our city will have its first armed services parade initiated by and paid for by parents of Vietnam and other veterans. Michael Rodkin, the mayor, has agreed to attend. Mayor, if you have any integrity, you can't have it both ways. Back to the student protesters. You should know that their behavior against military recruiters is being condoned and encouraged in all of the UC campuses where 85% of the professors are liberal and 15% are conservative. This is a fact. University instructor recruiting is in the hands of the left. Political indoctrination has no place in institutions of higher learning, where all sides of issues should be permitted and encouraged in a mutually respecting environment. Our schools on all levels are now being hijacked by liberal extremists who, among other things, are brainwashing young, fertile minds totally and irrevocably against any preparation for our country's defense. How many of these bitter, loud-mouthed, one-sided teachers and professors of military age will scurry to Canada if we are forced to initiate the draft again? Probably many of them, the same ilk which defends criminals and evildoers and ignores victims' rights and hates the U.S. but enjoys the benefits therefrom. Finally, kudos to the Sentinel for describing fairly and in detail this deplorable situation where military recruiters continue to endure spitting and even bodily injury by student protesters. Why is this behavior permitted? Because not all, but too many high school teachers, university and college professors condone and encourage these actions and have the students do their dirty work for them. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
During that commentary, Judy said, let him go to Canada. Who needs him, right?
So. Yeah, right. Let him go.
Anyhow, we've only got about 13 minutes remaining in this hour of the Saturday special with Roy Masters and Judy DeVilbiss and MZ. But we've got an hour ahead, so stay with us, and we will take a lot more phone calls starting next hour right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville.
I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, there's at least one person who doesn't like what they've been hearing. Another snooze fest of a program and subject, snooze, snooze, snooze. Why don't you do something creative like a Saturday special based on the dating game? You could also expand it to the culturally...
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go. To KSCO Radio. Bye.
I can't read the writing. It says something about homosexual community. Roy could be the host. And that's from Landon, Rob Landon and Capitola, I guess. Yeah, he doesn't care for this kind of stuff, but I guess he listens anyhow. By the way, it is time to... for those of you who are not aware, if you've been listening to KSCO, how can you not be aware in the last few days, because we've done a lot of coverage of the Armed Forces Day parade in Santa Cruz. Yes, you heard me right. You're not hearing things. Santa Cruz, they're having an honor the armed forces, the people who are fighting for us, actually happening in Santa Cruz, much to the chagrin of the people in charge here. So let's let's get a report from our man on the scene downtown, and that's none other than our Steve Hartman. Steve, welcome to the Saturday special.
Well, good morning, Michael, and good morning, KSCO listeners. I am down here on Pacific Avenue, right about Maple Street. Things are gearing up. There is a mob down here. I have never seen so many veterans in uniform since leaving the military. It's terrific. The support down here is incredible. The parade will be starting about 11:30. And I encourage people to grab their transistor radios while listening to your program and head on down to the mall in downtown Santa Cruz.
Are you enjoying the program, Steve?
I am enjoying the program.
See?
I am going to be in between the Vietnam vets, the Cold War vets, and then followed by the Gulf vets. So I'll be there with my ambulance and my new Red Cross decals on the side of it. A lot of locals down here, too. I see.
Steve, I wasn't talking about that program. I was talking about this program that you told people to listen to on their transistor radios as they attend that wonderful event.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Michael. I was just being polite.
Okay.
Actually, they could leave their radios at home and just come on down to the parade.
Okay.
No, they better not.
Who said that?
Me.
No, they better not? Yeah, okay, there's Roy. So anyhow, Steve, a question. Is there any kind of negativity going on down there? Are there any?
I have seen no negativity, although people are coming up, and I guess they recognize my voice. Joe from Salinas is down here. Jan from San Lorenzo Valley is here. And what is your name?
Big Gun Gordy.
Big Gun Gordy is down here. Captain Tim Morgan is down here. Major Rusty Santee is down here. There are just people all over the place. It's terrific. I'm sorry you're going to miss it.
Well,
you got to close the show early and come on down.
I'm going to leave the station at 12 noon, and hopefully by the time I get down there, 12:15, 12:20, there'll still be something going on.
The KSCO van is even down here.
This is great.
It's going to be last in line, I understand.
But nobody's throwing tomatoes, huh?
No one is throwing tomatoes today.
And you don't think that's going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen.
That's good.
They're too scared. There's too many of them.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve Hartman reporting live from Pacific Avenue in downtown Santa Cruz.
There he goes. And here comes Betty and Salinas, who's waited a long time to be on the air. You're on the air with MZ and Judy and Roy. How you doing, Betty?
Hello. Fine. Thanks.
You're on.
Uh-huh. Do you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I just wanted to thank Roy. Something very interesting happened to me. In 1960, I was attacked by my husband, but I didn't know exactly what happened because I was intoxicated. And in 1988, I was meditating with one of his tapes, where you drop your arm. And this whole thing came back. It was very traumatic. And now I know what happened.
Okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, good. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for calling and sharing.
Those forces can actually work unconsciously and affect your behavior and your demeanor and your decisions and your health. And when it comes to the surface and you recognize it without lying on a psychiatrist's couch, but it, intuitively it comes up and you recognize it and you don't get upset about what you see, and it's gone. And then suddenly your whole life at that point takes another turn for the better.
It's a good thing for everyone to meditate, to have quiet time, learn to meditate, and your life will be better.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of wrong kinds of meditations.
Yeah, do you get those tapes again?
You can call the office on Monday. And by the way, I'm having a seminar. A 3-day seminar this weekend, next weekend, at Tall Timber Ranch in Oregon, in Selma, Oregon. So if you want to, call the office, it's 866 Radio Roy, and you can look on the website, FHU.com.
866 Radio Roy?
Yes, that's right. You go, and they'll be in Monday morning, and they'll tell you about it. Or you can go on the web, FHU.com, or Roy Masters, you put in there, and it comes up.
Okay.
And you can see what we're doing. There's a little place you click on there, and it shows you everything.
Well, okay, but I did want to thank you, because I thought that's pretty powerful stuff.
If you keep it up, it'll be even more powerful.
Yeah.
Most of your illnesses will disappear.
That would be lovely.
By the way, thank you. Thanks, Betty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. There goes Betty.
She has them. You see, I see that when she said that would be lovely, it means that she has issues that need to be resolved.
Sure. Yeah. And it's great if you're willing to just sort of face it. I think everybody's got issues that need to be resolved, if you're willing. The first thing is being able to recognize it. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's 11:13, hour number 2. We're going to open the phone lines at 479-1080 or 477-1340. We got all those phone calls without my even giving the phone number. We may or may not get phone calls. We'll see. But great opportunity for you to call and talk with Roy or Judy or me.
It's not that easy. You know, yeah. It's not that easy to talk to me, because the mind that is in denial shuts down and doesn't want to expose itself.
Especially since we're steering clear of politics. I mean, if you were to open your mouth and talk about some of the things that you have talked about with us on the Saturday Special before, the lines would be jammed in about 2 seconds.
They want to complain. Yeah. They want to get mad. They want to vent. They can do that easily because they're mindless beasts.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And the peace lovers are the angriest people.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Those who throw tomatoes will also throw bombs.
We have an organization here called the Resource Center for Nonviolence. And a clever person who used to be associated with us years ago named that group the Resource Center for Selective Nonviolence, because one of its active members actually threw a brick through a window once, you know, in a protest, in some sort of a demonstration.
you can't see the contradiction.
Right. So this is for
you. It's not funny about these kind of people. They can't see their own contradiction.
I know.
They tear up the city, you know, for the sake of peace and fight with the police in the name of nonviolence and, you know, and getting along.
So once a person can get his or her mind in check and understand that...
Well, then they can see what's good for them. See, first of all the problems that are connected to turmoil and wrong emotions, et cetera, all those problems begin to disappear on their own. You begin to leave behind your chemicals and your drugs and all your stupid little habits.
Well, see, I've never had any of those. I know it's the ego talking again, but I've never had any of those problems.
But your addiction is to radio.
Yeah, and to egos and stuff. I'm fascinated by watching people's egos, including my own. But I think a lot of mine is dissipated, I think.
No, I've known you for many years. I've seen some marvelous changes in you.
This is good. This is good.
And so is your mother.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, so... So let's see if we can tie together this whole mind-body thing, because we really didn't talk about the physical...
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Share with us your recent experience, because you had a personal experience that sort of surprised you, I think, right?
Well, you know, I was a very vital 50-year-old man, you know, capable of anything, with lots of, you know, I could lots of physical training, judo and that sort of stuff. And I've lived a good, strong, healthy life and didn't have any bad habits or anything, no smoke, no drink, nothing. But I went swimming. I used to swim 3 or 4 miles in the channels in Ventura. And there's a sewage plant just down, about a mile down the coast. And apparently I swallowed some raw sewage that wasn't cooked properly, I suppose. And my problems for 25 years with medicine and antibiotics.
So wait, did you get an amoebic dysentery or something?
They didn't have the brains to figure it out. It could have been cured in 2 weeks. I actually had, 4 years later, the mortality rate from this particular illness, according to the Merck manual, doctors know what that is, it's a handbook that gives you some quick reference for illnesses. I, I, a friend of mine who's a physician gave me a whole pile of books, and I found this Merck manual. And it says that the mortality rate is 40% after 14 months. And I survived because the little flukes or the little amoeba or protozoa or whatever they were.
What is the name?
They go into your brain, they go into your lungs, they go into your kidneys.
So
any diabetes.
It was diagnosed,
I diagnosed it.
Oh.
I diagnosed it, told the doctor to give me the appropriate medicine, which should have been given to me a long time before that. But it took 4 years before my blood pressure was through the roof. I was dying. But then I looked through the Merck manual, and there, under parasites, there it was. And I went to the doctor. He said, well, it couldn't hurt. Let me give it to you. And lo and behold, the symptoms went away, but it affected my pancreas. It gave me diabetes. It gave me heart problems. It gave all kinds of problems. And every symptom from diabetes, since they never diagnosed the diabetes properly either, the doctors are really stupid. Only 1 in 10 doctors have any brains. You're lucky if you get a good lawyer. I mean, they're incompetent. They're turning out incompetent. By the way, let me just say it quickly. In Japan, they turn out 10 scientists or doctors for every one lawyer. In America, they turn out the opposite, 10 lawyers for every one engineer or scientist. It is frightening.
Yeah.
And the ones they turn out are horribly incompetent. There's more sickness today than ever, and I went through the medical matrix.
I've said many times one of the things that's most wrong with this country is that people don't work for a living, they sue for a living.
You got it. And, you know, I know what you're talking about, but I went through a 25-year sojourn. I even went to the point of I almost died, and my arteries closed up, and I had some doctor friends, but it was too late for anything. The aorta was closed up, the descending, I think, aorta, whatever they call it. And so I had a bypass. And so, but...
Multiple?
Yeah, four-way.
Uh-huh.
But I never understood the machinery of my body. A person who has a good attitude and eats properly and lives right will live a long time without much conflict, because he knows how to deal with it. I know how to deal with conflicts, but I didn't know how to deal with an amoeba with a physical illness, because 20% of all your illnesses fall in that category. Accidents and poisonings and infections and things like that. So, but that 20% is, there's a looking for a word for it, but preceded by a wrong life, so that your immune system is compromised, and therefore you're more likely to get the plague or something where somebody else might not. You see, or colds, or diphtheria, or more likely if your immune system is compromised, and even the attitude, it strengthens your immune system or weakens it. You see, if the wrong ones. But to cut a long story short, it's a very long story. The bottom line is, I learned about diet, and I learned about more exercise, the values of it. They tell you about diet.
About exercise. You were an avid swimmer practicer and all that.
But it was difficult after, I began to get more difficult. I was exhausted, worn out, could hardly function. See that? So therefore,
you forced yourself to do whatever you could do.
Well, you couldn't do much. I was too ill. So you start to deteriorate in every possible way. And it's the same thing when you get emotional and you start to eat popcorn and watch TV and you eat too much and you get bloated and you're too fat to walk and you're emotional, you're too pooped to pop. You get to a point where you can't exercise or you don't have the strength to exercise. But it's vital. Your life depends upon it. And I can give you lots of reasons for it. And then the diet is immensely important as you get older. But when it comes to diet, the Diabetes Association, American Diabetes Association, has given you the wrong pyramid. We'll come to that later on. And they know it. Because one in three Americans born in 2000 will get diabetes. And when they get diabetes, they'll get kidney problems, heart problems, liver problems, everything you can think of. Amputations of your feet and extremities. But then the doctors, when you get a pain in your kidney, they send you to a kidney doctor. And the doctor will treat your kidney, but not your diabetes. You have no idea how stupid these doctors are. But they are Nice people, don't get me wrong. They're just miseducated. You can miseducate everybody, and they buy it. And yes, doctor, no doctor, their egos are so swelled up that they actually cannot see what they're doing wrong to you. And a person must learn to take back their own health, and you can do that best by realizing how little doctors know, and God help you if you have to go to the hospital. My bypass has failed. So, and I had other problems.
Why are you how is it you are speaking to us if your bypass has failed?
Because I had conniptions. I started to get better, but the amoeba affected my colon, and the antibiotics, nothing but antibiotics, my prostate, and God knows what. I'm telling you the whole story. And they, not one single doctor in all the 25 years ever gave me more than 2 or 3 minutes, put his finger you know where. That's all. I said to one doctor one time, I said, how long have you been practicing, urology? And he said, 35 years. I said, do you know the cause of prostate problems? He says, no. I said, well, what the hell you look? All you ever learned is what you learned at school. What are you learning? I mean, aren't you discovering something by being a doctor? No, he doesn't. He does the same thing he's been taught in college and doesn't know anymore. He has no idea what the cause is. He only knows how to give you an operation and give you a pill. Give you an operation, give you a pill, so you can sort of take a leak better or something. And then after a while, it doesn't work anymore. Then they cut it out. And they're very good at that sort of stuff. But there's a better way. The body heals itself. But the trouble is, you've got to start with your attitude. If you don't have a good attitude, you can't see where you're going. You can't see what is right and wrong, what is good for you and what's not good for you.
You got to know how to deal with and say no to stress.
That's right.
Okay.
I grew new capillaries.
Oh.
That's the answer was, I had trouble with my intestines at my side. I had a pain in my side, and it was because of the colon wasn't working properly, and for the reasons I explained. And there's a condition that creates a pain in the anatomic nervous system that mimics a heart attack. It mimics it so cleverly that only the best of cardiologists can detect it. And I knew that it wasn't a heart problem because I was burning off 400 calories in a half an hour on my treadmill, which for a 76-year-old man wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I went to the hospital several times. My bladder had bloated out and crushed the doctor had been giving me antibiotics for the prostate, but mm-hmm. then it wasn't working in my, and bladder was expanding and crushing my organs, and he never told me, crushing my kidneys against my side. And so I went to, eventually, cut a long story short, into Cedars-Sinai. They discovered what it was. It's not a big deal. But the point is, my bladder was extended beyond it. So I still have problems with it.
Stretched?
Stretched, right.
Uh-huh.
But the point is, they gave me an angiogram, which is also dangerous. And I had to recover from the angiogram. So I was joking with the nurses when they were doing that. They were putting that thing up your leg into your heart and talking to them about stress and having fun with them. And the cardiologist was a very nice man. He says, he said, with a straight face, he didn't give me the good news. He gave me the bad news first. He says, your bypass failed. Two of them have closed. But the good news is you've grown new native ones. You've grown new ones. And
whoever heard of such a thing?
Well, it does happen occasionally, but not to a diabetic. See? Because diabetes,
are you convinced that you're a true diabetic?
No, I'm not anymore. I don't have diabetes anymore. Because I've learned to cut out the carbs. I limit myself to 30 carbs a day. And just the opposite. Remember I said a little while ago that
people eat to live instead of
yes, that's true, because when you get older, first of all, you don't need very much. The need that you have is only because of the emptiness of your life. So you have to stuff yourself with dumb yourself down. You looking forward to the next bite is looking away from what's wrong with you. Looking forward to a vacation, setting goals. But food works that way. I was in a restaurant one time, and there's this little story in a Japanese restaurant, and they gave me this little pigeon poop size food on a plate. There was 10 courses. And I called the maitre d' over in San Francisco, a very nice restaurant. I said, why don't you put all this on one plate? He says, well, in Japan we have, and I've learned about this, this is actually a Japanese custom. In Japan we have a saying, looking forward to something is better than having it. Looking forward to new cars is looking away from yourself and looking forward to the next pleasure and the next pleasure. But each pleasure is more pain because you're running from something. It's as bad to deny that what's wrong with you as to do the wrong itself. In other words, if you steal, it's worse to excuse the stealing than the stealing itself. Adam makes the first excuse. You know, Eve made me do it. See what I mean? If he said, look, you know, I did the wrong thing, I'm fessing up to it, and then things might have been different. But every human being makes excuses and lives in denial. And food is a method of dulling the pain of the very conscience that could save you. You have a god of your belly. See what I mean? So the thing is, when you get older, you see how ugly we become. Literally ugly and bloated, and and it's very unhealthy and diabetic. And with all the problems that accompany eating too much and eating all the wrong foods. I mean, the worst of foods. You watch people's in the grocery store. You look at their grocery bag. You can't believe the food that they're buying for themselves.
It's disgraceful.
It's disgraceful. And even if you got food stamps, you buy all the wrong foods with it. And so then you become the wrong kind of person. You get sicker and sicker and sicker. And now diabetes is out of control. I'm looking at something on the internet right now. I'm reading diabetes out of control. 1 in 3 people are going to die from it. And they're all going to be treated with kidney problems, heart problems, God knows what. And the diabetes, they do not know. There's no knowledge, no real knowledge put out there how to come to grips with the problem, except when you listen to our program. We'll give it to everybody. I haven't got the time right now to say it all at once.
And our program, too.
Yes. Yeah, our program, that's what I mean.
No, I mean the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program. We've been saying that for years, that people, you know, when you want to make people fat, you want to make animals fat, you give them carbohydrates.
That's right.
You don't, you know.
That's right.
You don't give them fat. People think that fat makes you fat. Fat doesn't make you fat. It's the carb, right, Judy? I mean, you know this.
That is exactly right. I mean, many people believe that they just will not take fat into their body.
Well, they've been brainwashed.
Totally brainwashed.
But I'm the living example of it. 30 carbs a day. You know how much that is? It's hardly any. So I get my energy from protein, fat, and some carbs from vegetables. I don't eat much fruit, but now I'm beginning to eat a little fruit because I'm getting better.
Uh-huh.
See?
Now, why have you avoided fruit? Because of the diabetic condition?
No, because
of the pre-diabetic condition.
Because of the other condition.
Because of the sugar. There's so much sugar.
That's what I'm saying, the diabetic condition.
Yeah, so you cut that out, then you eat berries, strawberries.
So sugar is bad, no matter whether it's natural or processed. I mean, processed is probably worse, but sugar
is
sugar.
A healthy young person needs carbs. Healthy young people need carbs. They do. And I've got some grandchildren that won't eat. They won't eat potatoes. They won't even eat fruit. They just eat meat and other things.
They'll be just fine.
They'll be just fine. I don't see anything wrong. Nothing goes wrong.
Right.
My daughter has to sort of give them shakes and sort of hide stuff in it to make them drink it.
Yeah.
That's good for them.
Right. Hey, listen, we are going to take a short commercial break now. Maybe it'll be a long commercial break. We'll sort of play it by ear.
But remind me when you come back. About why my heart works good now, and the cardiologist says to me, Roy, you're getting better in spite of you and me, and I'm not taking
any
medication.
What a nice cardiologist who doesn't have a big ego.
No, he didn't. He's a very nice man.
He's good. Okay, it's a Saturday special, hour number 2 with Roy Masters, Judy D, and MZ. Stay with us, gang. We'll be back in a few minutes.
When most people eat, they don't consider what happens to their food after it's been swallowed. Calories and nutrients are taken by the digestive system to feed our bodies. But what happens when we can't absorb the nutrients we ingest? Here's pharmacist Benjamin Fuchs to tell us how to better digest our food.
Food and digestion is the hardest thing that we do to our bodies on a regular basis, trying to digest our food. It creates a lot of stress in the body and produces a lot of toxins in the body as well. So a food holiday is always a good idea, no matter what your health issue is, or even if you're just plain healthy, it's a good idea to take a break from food once a week. And when you take a break from food, you want to make sure that you're drinking lots of veggie juices. Did you know just chewing your food appropriately quickly can be a wonderful way to eliminate inflammatory conditions and can be a wonderful way to improve longevity. Just simply chewing your food can allow food to be digested more appropriately. The less we eat, the better. Now, there's different kinds of digestive enzymes. Proteolytic enzymes can have some really important effects, most especially for helping reduce inflammation. In fact, bromelain and papain alone have been shown to reduce inflammation due to trauma, but you also get secondary benefits, and that is improved digestion. Improved digestion can help eliminate toxins that make it into the bloodstream. Those toxins can actually be simply pieces of food that didn't get digested. So digestive enzymes are a wonderful strategy for taking care of that, and the digestive enzymes should be taken before meals.
Balance out your digestive system by taking American Longevity's Ultimate Enzymes. Each bottle contains a proprietary enzyme complex formulated to support all aspects of digestion, aids in detoxification, and at $19 a bottle wholesale, you'll be properly digesting fats and proteins without eating away your hard-earned dough. Give your body what it needs for proper digestive health. American Longevity's Ultimate Enzymes. To order or to pick up American Longevity products, call Scott or Jose at KSCO Radio, 831-475-1080. That's 831-475-1080.
Hi everyone, Judy DeVilbiss here. I wanted to tell you a little bit about a really incredible product we have. It's very unique. It's different than any other product in the whole line of American Longevity product. It's called Vitali. It's an ultimate juice. It's loaded with antioxidants, and let's face it, we all need that to help get rid of all the free radicals and all the things in our body trying to cause us to have cancer. Vitali is just absolutely loaded, and they make all of these beautiful things in there strictly from 14 fruits and vegetable extracts. No products are as great as this. I drink it myself, and you know something? It's one of the healthy products that absolutely tastes delicious. People that drink wine think it's as good as or better than wine. People that do not take alcohol into their system think that this is absolutely the most delicious thing they've ever had. So think about this. A healthy drink tastes delicious. You can use it like wine. Why not? 888-352-7500 will get your order in. Again, 888-352-7500.
Here's my morning routine. Alarm goes off. Hit snooze at least once, force self out of bed, put coffee on, go outside, get the Sentinel, shower, dress, drink my coffee, and let the Sentinel tell me some stories about the world around me. I usually don't think about it a lot because it's just part of my daily routine, but with the way the world is today, I'm glad to have a touchstone like the Santa Cruz Sentinel. The happy and the heart-wrenching, the justice and the injustice, it's all in there. Stories, not just the news, but the stories that help me make sense of what's going on in the world, and most importantly, right here in Santa Cruz County. News is news, but a story can touch your life, and the Sentinel always seems to find an angle that brings the story home. The Santa Cruz Sentinel, your news, your stories, every day.
For what to see and not to see, check out the Santa Cruz Style Entertainment Guide every Thursday and movie reviews every Friday in the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Your news, your stories, and your entertainment guide.
Hello, my name is Bill Lambert, and I'm the owner-operator of Lambert & Son Moving, serving Santa Cruz and Monterey counties for local and long-distance moves. Lambert & Son Moving is a local, family-owned and operated mover. Let my family take care of your family's move. Call me at 831-420-0419 for a free, no-obligation estimate. Mention KSCO Radio for a free gift and special discount. Free use of our wardrobe boxes and all packing materials for your move. Senior and student discounts, best value in town. Reliable on-time service. Our clients, family, neighbors, and new neighbors will be treated with the utmost respect and courtesy. I guarantee it. Residential and commercial moves. No job too small. License insured, bonded. California PUC T number 189973. Call Bill Lambert at 831-420-0419 for all your moving needs. That's Lambert & Son Moving.
Doug Winfrey here from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program. After helping Dr. Wallach get out his health message for years, I realized that many of the people I told about Dr. Wallach's message of taking charge of your own health have done just that. They've gone on to spread Doc's health message to dozens of their own friends and family. The only difference between myself and them was that they took the time to learn about the home-based business opportunity. So now, years later, not only have they helped a lot of people, but they've built lucrative businesses with tremendous tax advantages. After 7 years, the rest of Doc's message has finally sunk into me. You know, the part about coming out of your comfort zone, seeking personal growth, and taking charge of your own life. If you're sold on Dr. Wallach's health message and are ready to take a step forward, join me, Doug Winfrey, and a great group of people for a business training session on Thursday, May 26th at 6 p.m. right here at KSCO. Advanced registration is required, so call my office at 831-335-8054. That's Doug Winfrey at 831-335-8054.
Selling for $75,772 at 240 months, 6.75% APR, borrowed number 03844 with tax credit 20% down and tax, license, and dock fee.
Come to Scotts Valley, it's the door to your adventure. When you enter our friendly RV center, now you can live your dream and share it. RVs of Merit.
Take the family out on the open road this year in a new Georgetown 32-foot Class A RV from RVs of Merit. This one comes standard with generator, air conditioner, microwave, and awning. And it's yours for only $511.64 a month. Getting there is most of the fun in your 32-foot Georgetown from RVs of Merit. 20 miles from San Jose, on the road to Santa Cruz in beautiful Scotts Valley.
From the Scotts Valley, the door to your adventure. When you enter our friendly RV center, now you can live your dream and share it. RVs of Merit. RVs of Merit.
It takes a lot of energy to sell your home, and I have energy to spare. Hello, my name is Heidi Theodore with Sherman & Boone Associates in Capitola. How much energy do I have? I've lived in Australia, Japan, England, New York, and now in Santa Cruz County. I founded the Core Leaders Children's Theater, and this year we're putting on four plays. I founded the County Daffodil Society, and we planted 360,000 daffodils. And I buy and sell real estate across the world. When it comes time to sell your home, list with someone who has energy to spare. That's me. I'm Heidi Theodore, and I have energy to sell your home. Call me 24/7 at 831-464-5093. I'm Heidi Theodore with Sherman & Boone, 464-5093, or HeidiTheodore.net. By the way, there's only one Heidi Theodore, and that's me.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only.
Okay, we are back with the hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special. We got we're in the home stretch of 21 minutes. So if you want to call, I'd get cracking 479-1080, 477-1340. I'll give out the fax number 475-2967. I haven't checked the email, but you can email me now or any time. I guess I'll bring it up and see if there's anything worthwhile in the email to read. We're talking with Roy Masters and Judy DeVilbiss about mind and body health, and would welcome your participation. Again, the numbers are 479-1080 and 477-1340. We have a couple of people on the line, Richard in Pacific Grove and Tony, I don't know where, but stay there, you guys, because I want to make sure that we get something really important out from Roy here.
Okay.
So, Roy, yeah, you want to finish your story about...
I'll say it real quickly.
Yeah.
I told you I was off my heart medication.
Yes.
And I've grown... the good Lord gives me new capillaries. They're called native ones.
Uh-huh.
So I don't need my bypasses anymore.
Uh-huh.
But my heart began to, falter, and that's why one of the reasons I went to the doctor in Los Angeles, Cedar Sinai, and he said I'm doing better than in spite of ourselves, but he wanted to give me more drugs than I
tried. Got to be one in a million doctor who would say that, you know.
Yeah, but he gave me more drugs, and I said, I couldn't hardly walk, so I stopped it, and then I spoke to my friend who's a doctor. And I've known him for 12 years. He's a retired doctor, and he's out of the system. And he's warned me about all the drugs we get and all the things we take, which are killing us. He says, you've got one drug next is called Atenolol, or he calls it Tenormin. He says, look, this could be affecting your heart adversely when it once helped you. Because as you get better, the drug that helps you, you can't get weller than well. So when you get well and you take a drug, you get sick. But if you're sick and you take a drug, it keeps you well. It keeps up the body function. It helps to stabilize you, like high blood pressure. It's good, but you can't take it forever because otherwise
you're living toxic.
Yeah, it becomes toxic and you're living longer and longer and you need other medicines to take care of the other problems. When you get better.
Polypharmacy.
So what he said to me, he said, take one of those little pills put them in a eyedropper bottle, crush it up first in a teaspoon, mix it up, and take a little swig, and just measure and watch the heart, watch your heart begin to normalize. And lo and behold, the low blood pressure was right through the. They want to give me more blood pressure pills, and it was already through the floor. And they want to give me more cholesterol reducing drugs when my LDL was 72, and they can't believe it. It wasn't low enough for him. Can you believe this?
That's
and that was from the diet. He says, "How are you doing that?" My other doctor says, "How are you doing that?" I said, "Diet, and good attitudes." So anyway,
remember that quote that we saw that you saw and pointed out to me that sort of said it all. Stress must be viewed as a disease-causing entity.
That's right. Stress, and it is an entity in other people.
Yeah.
It's not people themselves. We war not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in hidden places, and it's hidden in people. They don't know another self is there. We started off the program by talking about that. There's another self within a self, but then there's another self other than you, and you think it's you. And when you discover that there's another self hiding in you and thinking through you and making you think it's you and ruining your life and making you go to all the wrong people who comfort you in so many different ways, it's too hard to enumerate.
Our lines are jammed at 479-1080, but we do have lines open at 477-1340. If you call, we promise we'll get you on. Let's go back to the phones now. Richard in Pacific Grove is our next caller. Welcome to the Saturday Special, Richard.
Hi, Roy, how you doing?
Hello, Richard.
Something of interest you mentioned a few minutes ago was your heart condition, and
yes,
there was a relationship with your intestines.
Yes, but there's a place right there in I think it's the Fenix flexure, they call it. I got the name. I found the name of it.
Okay.
And most doctors don't know about that.
What I discovered was with the detox. There's liver detox and then your digestive system detox. Dr. Bernard Jensen goes in a lot of depth in his website. Another website is Dr. Richard Anderson. With all the poisons and the pesticides, all these things are stored in our body, in our liver, our digestive system.
But can I just make sure? A lot of people, it's too easy. See, I eat all the food out of the grocery store. I'm 77 years old. And I'm getting better from eating food out of the grocery store. And so you've got to be very, very careful that you don't worry about the toxins in fish, the mercury. And, I mean, there's so many stories floating around about everything, and you grab hold of those and you focus on that as the cure or the thing not to do. You go crazy. You have to have an objective view. You got to get above all your emotions so you can look at things and see, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't. Or you try it and see it doesn't work. Then you've got enough sense to know that it's not working. And so that's what I've done in my life. You have to take your life into your hands, and you've got a God-given conscience. And when you listen to your conscience and start admitting that you're wrong and resolving your internal problems, that conscience will show you, will give you a world beyond your wildest dreams and give you back your health. Because he made you, he can fix you.
I agree 100%. And what changed me around was I got into juicing. I bought a real nice juicer, and
couldn't
I've been
hurt.
Juicing organic veggies, okay?
That couldn't
and
hurt you, but you've got to be careful about you got to be careful about that, too, in a diabetic state, because you may have picking the vegetables that have got too much sugar in them to begin with, and that will cause you a problem.
Well, yeah, the information is out there.
No, so don't juice anything. If you're a diabetic, don't juice anything yet, because until you know what you're doing.
Yeah, good advice.
Well, yeah, but I'm also getting advice. I'm listening to Wallach and Benjamin
Hughes. Oh, well,
and all their information, everybody's information.
Yeah, go ahead, Judy,
yes,
speak.
Yes, no, no.
You
Rick,
know about all this.
Yes, we spoke yesterday, I believe, yesterday morning, and he's very into it, and he does go on the Internet and do all the researching, so he's a good guy to listen to. And Roy, you don't concern yourself with organics, right?
Well, it's nothing wrong with organics. Okay, they're good, but I just sooner eat a nice juicy apple when it's farmed properly, and a nice big head of lettuce or whatever it is when it comes from beautifully farmed with nitrates that are, man-made, because the business of vegetables is to eat minerals.
Ego.
If I ever go into, it doesn't matter what it is made from.
If I ever go into the lettuce business, I'm going to call it Big Egoed Lettuce. a big head of lettuce. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I had a friend of mine who was a doctor, a very famous doctor, who has a ranch, and he gave up medicine because he got bored, he got troubled by it.
Uh-huh.
And he used to bring me the products of his farm, the most beautiful vegetables you've ever seen, crisp and beautiful and healthy. He says, well, we use all the pesticides, but yes, we use that too. But he says, we use all the best of fertilizer, and we feed this produce, and it's healthy. There's nothing wrong with it. But the idea that you have to go to organics only is ridiculous, because if we depend on that, most of the world would starve to death.
Yeah, good. Okay, hey, Richard, Pacific Grove, thanks for your call. Here's Tony, and where are you, Tony?
Hello, I'm Tony Daring in Seaside, California.
My God, the voice of God.
No. Mr. Roy Masters, I am just so honored to speak with you.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a couple of things. I hope you don't mind. I'm so amazed at your meditative technique. It's just awesome. It's just unbelievable. Did you get it from Deuteronomy?
No, I discovered. I'll tell you the story of that. May I?
Please.
I want to hear it too.
Well, you know, when I was a little boy, I got fascinated with the bombs were falling. You know, during the World War II.
Oh.
And the buzz bombs were buzzing around, because I lived on the coast in Brighton, England, and there was barbed wire and mines on the beach and everything. So, but we had a cheap flat right on the beachfront, because nobody wanted it. But I got interested in magic, and I'm a good magician, as Michael Z will.
Oh, yes.
You think it's real.
That's what got my mom to really like you.
Yes.
Up until then, you were a chauvinist. No, but then she got to know you. She got to know you better. She knows that that isn't the case. But your magic tricks were just pretty cool.
All sleight of hand, anyway,
so it wouldn't matter to me.
But I discovered, Scott, I got to doing it. Then I was walking down one of those side streets in Brighton, England, uh-huh. And I had 50 cents in my pocket, and there was an afternoon vaudeville, and I paid my money in there. In those days, it wasn't risque. And not very much, anyway.
Yeah.
There was a hypnotist doing, you know, his thing. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. Maybe there's a force at work. You can help people to become better. But, of course, it was wrong. But I got interested in hypnosis, and then I realized long time later that if you can make people do right things, you can also make them do wrong things. it's the same force. So it's a long story short... you don't remember Bridey Murphy, do you?
Yes.
You do?
Well, yeah, I don't, and Judy doesn't.
Bridey Murphy is a story of a woman who was regressed under hypnosis, and they found her buried in America. This woman who regressed, and she found her name was Bridey Murphy, and there she was. She gave a place in Ireland where they could dig her up, and they found out that was the story of the lady that was buried there. And it was a big book, and it was all about hypnosis and regression, and people...
Yes.
So I had a diamond business at the time in Houston, Texas. And people found that I knew that I could do all these things. So they came to me for hypnosis, and the business got big enough. I opened a studio up, and for 7 years, I practiced on a very posh avenue in Montrose Boulevard in Houston. That's before I got in trouble with the law. And now that's another story.
Okay.
For practicing hypnosis without a license.
No, medicine.
That's what I mean.
Medicine. But it's a very fascinating story. But this one first.
Okay.
So Christians used to come in with problems just like everybody else.
Sure.
And so I sit them down and I would talk to them. I thought I was practicing hypnosis, but something had changed. I just stumbled across something, because I'm an adventurous. I never met another hypnotist except that person on the stage. I looked at all the books and couldn't find a good way of doing it. But I learned to do it, and when I was in the army, I was the entertainer. All the boys in my platoon did more for me than the sergeant. He was jealous. And after the war, when I was demobilized, I met him. just a backstory. In a dance, I was 18 years old, 19 years old when I got out, or 20, I forget. And he saw me coming, and this is what he said. You! So anyway, so Well, so the Christians would say to me, I said, sit down, I'll be patient, and you know, let go of your anger towards people next time you see them from now on. But you see, you hear this in that record that was made 45 years ago. What you're listening to is made 45 years ago. I put it on record then, and I was only a young whippersnapper then, about 32, 33
what
years old.
What record are you talking about?
A CD, actually a CD.
So
it used to be a record.
Yeah, but you're talking about the meditation exercise?
Meditation, that's what he's talking about. But yeah. But I never didn't read the Bible very much. I'm Jewish, you know.
Yeah, but Christianity is your favorite religion.
Because there's something about Christianity that has a saving grace. It's not all mechanical verses and chapters.
You know, it talks about hands and forehead, though, quite a bit, where it says stamp things, bind them on your hands and between your eyes and your forehead.
That's a tefillin.
I kept thinking maybe you developed this, you know, I've never been able to speak with you. So
that came later. That's when I realized the value that they had actually, they had frozen the technique of meditation into a ritual. So where you have that little box in the middle of your forehead with the Ten Commandments, the Jewish people practice this, and they have the strap that goes around the head and around the left arm. And they meditate on the Lord. But this doesn't go anywhere. But it really symbolizes something that is long forgotten. But I discovered that later. I discovered Christianity.
I see.
By the Christians saying, you know what? When I went home, I found I could be patient with my children. And all my anger has disappeared, and I'm beginning to see things. And you can find this in, and they give me the verse and chapter in the New Testament, and I looked it up, and there it was. See? So I was discovering it backwards. There was a Bible verified what I'd already discovered.
Well, I hope people really understand. I've been just going crazy because nobody's talking about, excuse me, I don't mean it in any way wrongly, but this man is so deep. And to talk about the vitamins, you know, this meditative technique is, I've studied meditation all my life, and I love it, and there are wrong ways of meditating, and
most
there
are
right ways, and this one is the right way. And
it's the Judeo-Christian way to a personal relationship with your Creator.
Very apparently. And
it's the only cure.
It's just remarkable, especially when you can get the hands and forehead working together. If you can
To get real uncomfortable, guys, when this kind of topic would come up.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what happened, but I'm now comfortable.
Well, I hope you are, because I'll tell you something, and I mean this without any flattery or anything, nothing to do necessarily with Mr. Masters, but this is powerful. This is life change. This is the core stuff, because I've been able to actually stand back and, as he put it, look at my thoughts go past. And it's a remarkable thing to realize that you start watching instead of being.
When you're involved with your thoughts, you're not conscious as you ought to be. You're not in control.
So
you
all
actually become
you
fully
watch.
Alive.
And I'm still not. I have, you know, I like to have a rum and coke once in a while, and I'm not saying I'm in great. I'm just saying that I use it every day twice, and that I'm a Bible teacher, and I am just very, very impressed, and I wish I had a chance to talk to you a lot
deeper.
Well,
listen, probably next week sometime I'll be live on
KOMY.
OMY.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock to midnight, so you'll call me then.
Okay. Because I don't really have any problems as much as I just like to discuss.
There's no reason why you can't call even when you're not live. Give out the phone number, Roy, and tell them the time.
Yes, it's 9 to 11. It's 866.
Well, yeah, he's busy.
Yeah, not right now. The next, you know,
okay.
Not now. But
yeah.
I'm going to promote the KOMY.
Yeah, sure. But it's just a pleasure, and the spiritual. I just get so frustrated. I loved your show, except I want to discuss the spiritual aspects.
Well, we can't do it now. We can't do it now because we're going to try to stay on the subject of.
And we only have 4 minutes left. Isn't this terrible? There's only 4 minutes left.
Time goes past so quickly.
It's awful.
Well, you're a wonderful guy, and thank you so much. And it was an honor to speak with you.
Okay, Tony. Thanks for calling. Here's Anna in Salinas. Anna, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Listen. Oh, I'm great. I have a problem here with my daughter. She's diabetic, and she's 30 years old. She gets up in the morning. If she doesn't have any, she hasn't eaten, like, meat at night. In the morning, she gets up, and she's like, this bile just raises up in her throat. She has to go outside to the bathroom and vomit, excuse the word. But she does that, and she always carries a water bottle with her. She must be drinking water all the time. So,
well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that is because if she's a diabetic and she goes on, I know about this from experience.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for the drinking of the water so much is because the body is very intelligent, and so when you've got too much sugar in your blood, you thirst, because
uh-huh.
the way the body defends itself from that
uh-huh.
is to increase the volume of water in the blood.
Oh.
So to dilute the amount of sugar that will kill you otherwise.
Oh.
Throw you into a coma.
So what can she do?
Well, thing is, you should have brought this subject up earlier, maybe next week.
You know, this is what we need to do with the program, Roy. We need to have it be mostly questions and answers. And why not medical?
We had to start.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly. So, you know, we'll be talking. Stay tuned to KSCO, Anna. Do you listen to KSCO very often?
Yes, every Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, listen during the week, because you might find Roy and me on doing this kind of a program that we're trying to sort of give birth to right now. So.
Okay.
Okay.
I was just wondering, is there anything she can take from Dr. Wallach?
Oh, call Judy. Call Judy, 728-3500, and she'll fix you right up.
728-2500?
3500.
Okay, thank you so much.
She needs to get my meditation exercise, so she's almost so bloody emotional.
FHU.com. Right. FHU.com.
You download it for free.
Yes, it's amazing. I mean, Roy wants people to know this. He doesn't, you know, it's nice to make some money off it, but you doesn't need to. And there are a lot of great books that you can buy.
I do need to, but I'd leave it up to the person.
Exactly. It's a donation type thing, right?
Oh. Okay.
So there you have it. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. That frees up the board. Roy, always great to talk to you. I'm happy that Judy was here so she could sort of add to the
program. Yeah, well, but we
needed
to lay a foundation, you know, and get people get used to my other side.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about doing a regular program probably during the weekday.
Maybe we should have one more Saturday program, more about the health.
Yes.
And sort of extend it to maybe next Saturday before we do that?
I think next Saturday is already booked, in fact, for both of us, as I recall, right?
That's right.
Thanks,
that's
Roy.
Right. I forgot about that.
Talk to you soon.
Seminar, thanks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville, here's USA News.
The radio address to the nation Saturday morning.